Oh, it's so good to be with you this morning. My name is Jeff Geip. I'm the leader of local and global outreach, and I have the privilege of sharing from the Word this morning. And the reason I'm sharing is because we had originally had one of our global partners coming in from Germany named Stefan Weil. And Stefan called on Wednesday morning to myself and our global champion, Tim Van Hall, and informed us that he experienced not one, but two minor strokes. And we're very thankful that he was in Germany when that happened, not on an airplane or here. But Tim is here and is going to give us a little bit of an update and also pray for Stefan.
Good morning, fellowship. So my name's Tim. Again, I have the privilege with along with my wife, Mary Ruth, working with Stefan and doing the German global champion thing. The good news is Stefan, for the most part, is back to normal. So I don't know, you know, a lot of you guys have had or seen Stefan in the past. This was from a couple days ago. He was in ICU, was admitted, and was just released this morning from the hospital entirely. He unfortunately can't drive for 3 months, so that's going to be an interesting thing for him as he navigates. His job requires a lot of driving. But he's doing well. Don't know the cause, don't know why. He's very young for strokes. So, you know, early 50s is not normal to be having many strokes. So there's a lot of question marks that are still needing to be answered. But, you know, so Mary Ruth, my wife, and I have worked with Stefan and lived in Germany for a while before moving back to Nashville, but have worked with Stefan for a while. And the spiritual oppression that happens, especially for our European partners, and it's not just Germany, it's also our other European partners that fellowships works with. There's a lot of spiritual warfare that goes on. And, you know, I'm not going to preach on that, you know, from it right now in front of, like, you know, just do a little mini spiritual warfare thing, but there your personal experiences, and Jeff and I have talked a lot. Every time he's going or we're coming, there's just a lot of things that break or go wrong. And for example, our house flooded last week, which was not expected, you know, things like that. It happens most every time. So just want to say that. I say that more like we need to be praying for Stefan. It's not, I mean, there's not a lot that we otherwise can do, but prayers do matter and they do mean things because that's ultimately the biggest battle that's being fought. So with that, Jeff asked if I would, you know, lead us into his sermon with a prayer, both for Stefan and for our time together. So if you'd please bow with me, I prepared a prayer for us. Father in heaven, we come before you with grateful hearts, even in the midst of unexpected news. Today, we lift up our dear brother Stefan to you. You know the details of the two minor strokes, understand the cause and purpose, and we trust that you are already at work bringing healing, strength, and peace to him. We ask that your restoring hand would rest upon his body, that his mind and spirit would remain steady in your presence, and that he would sense your comfort and protection surrounding him and his family. Lord, we also pray over our service today. Though our plans have changed, your plans and your purposes have not. Fill this gathering with your spirit. Speak to us through your word, through Jeff this morning. Unify us in your love, and let everything we do bring glory to your name, particularly in this Christmas season. Thank you for the partnership we share in the gospel in Germany, but also across Europe and across the nations, and for your faithfulness in every circumstance. We entrust Stefan and this service and our lives fully into your hands. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim.
Sorry, it was a mic switch. It was my fault.
Mic mess up. Well, we really miss having Stefan here. I was really looking forward to having him here. Although I'm kind of happy that, you know, hanging out with Tim and Stefan is difficult because I feel like a stump between two trees. So at least he's saving Nick Payne from always looking up. So, but yeah, we do wish Stefan well. And, you know, as Tim was just sharing, you know, our theme for this Christmas is joy to the whole world, even in the joyless world. And when I think about that, these are how spiritual things work. Rob and Lloyd have been leading us through the book of Romans, and in Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all these things are working together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so with that in mind, we are here today to celebrate joy. I love this song, as we all love this song, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rock hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. I was going to sing that for you this morning, but my wife advised me not to, which is good for you. But I love these words. The words of this carol are so powerful and so special. We sing these words every Christmas, but they're much more than just lyrics. They're a declaration. The carol doesn't just invite people like you and me to sing. It invites all of creation to sing. Fields and floods and rocks, hills and plains, to repeat the sounding joy. And that phrase, repeat the sounding joy, is not sentimental poetry. It's a mission. God has called us to a mission. It's the heartbeat of Advent. It's the holy echo that began in Bethlehem and has been extending through the universe since then. And so we think of this beautiful picture of the joy, the repeating, the sounding joy. When Isaac Watts was penning this beautiful carol, he didn't have this idea, this imagining a quiet Christmas scene. He was envisioning a worldwide outpouring of joy under the rule of King Jesus. And so as we're singing these songs, and this is what's in the imagination or in the minds of those, a joy that would reverberate to every tribe and every tongue. As this subject was given to Steph and I to share, I was reminded of a passage in Romans. Since we're in the book of Romans, let's turn to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, Paul points us to this picture of this joy going to every tribe and every nation. And in verses 8 through 13, the Apostle Paul says this: "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise among the Gentiles and sing your name." And again, it said, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his peoples." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol him." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to the rule of the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Father, as we open your word, we pray that your Spirit would open our eyes to this glorious time and the glorious hope that we have in Christ. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that Paul is pointing out two very powerful points here. The first one is that Advent joy moves out. But the second one, and maybe more important, is that Advent joy moves us out. First, we look at this Advent joy that moves out. I love how Paul writes, uses four Old Testament scriptures in these six verses, from Moses and David and Isaiah. I can almost picture them singing this chorus, coming to this musical crescendo, each voice adding more and more depth to what he's saying. First, the promise to Israel. Then the invitation to the Gentiles. Then the command to rejoice, O Gentiles. Then the global chorus, let all the people extol him. And then finally, Isaiah's declaration that all hope finds its hope in our home in Jesus. You can hear it building to this place of singing and repeating that sounding joy. Paul's point could not be clearer. The joy that began with Israel is and has always been intended for all nations, all tribes, and all tongues. The joy of Jesus was never to remain static. It moves, it spreads, it echoes through all nations. So Christmas isn't only the rival of joy. Christmas is the sending of joy. As joy, Advent joy moves out in us, Advent joy moves us out. And we see this movement in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, there are the shepherds are alone in the field, unexpected of what was to happen. They're looked down on by society. And the angel of the Lord appears to them. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Upon hearing these words, I see these shepherds sprinting to Bethlehem. And when they arrive into Bethlehem, Luke shares with us, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known this saying which was told them concerning this child." I use the New King James Version in this one verse because I love what the translators did here. The translators added a word. And you're like, is that a good thing? In this case, yes, it's a really good thing. Why would they add the word widely to that passage? It's because it reflects what happened in these shepherds' hearts. The moment they saw Jesus, the moment they began to repeat that sounding joy, making the message or the gospel of the King Jesus known to the world. You see, the shepherds didn't just whisper the good news. They shared it. These shepherds become our very first missionaries that we see in the New Testament. As soon as they saw Jesus, as soon as they heard the good news, they spread it. In other words, the first people to see Jesus are the first missionaries we find. And 33 years later, after Jesus had lived on the earth, had dwelt among the disciples, had lived with them for 3 years. He appeared to them after his death and resurrection. He appeared to them on a mountain and he said these words, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." In other words, disciples, don't wait for the world to come to you. As you're going, wherever you're going, make Jesus widely known. I love that picture of letting all people know about Jesus. Now, in the book of Luke, where we were just reading in verse 2, it said that when the people heard them sharing the good news of Jesus, that they marveled. They were amazed. What were they marveled at? What were they amazed with? Well, obviously, the message. The message, no doubt. But I would take it one step further and say they marveled at the messengers. You see, times in those days were not easy. They were difficult. They were going through many struggles and many strife, and there were many things going on. But because of those things, the joy and the peace that was flowing through the messengers had a huge impact on the people that they were sharing with. Christmas is a time that we share the joy and the peace that we have in Christ. And may I say this? Christians should be the most joyful, peaceful people on the planet. Because we understand the times from the beginning to the end. We know the story, we know the outcome. And so that story should be shared more and more. We should be repeating that sounding joy wherever we go. And this is why our church celebrates Global Christmas. It isn't a program. This isn't a special program that we do. It's an overflow of the joy of what Christ is doing in and through us. Think about it this way. Every time you speak the name of Jesus to a neighbor, that echo continues. Every time hospitality interrupts your comfort, the echo continues. Every time compassion overrides convenience, the echo continues. Every time faith overcomes fear, the echo continues. Joy moves us toward others. It's such a beautiful picture. Joy moves us across borders, across streets, across to our neighborhoods. Joy moves through ordinary men and women like you and me. That's who God chose to use. And you know what? This church does it well. I don't know if you remember last year's tagline, but last year's tagline was to pray, give, and go. Y'all remember that? Well, let me say, you responded amazingly. We had 11 teams with over 250 people leave this body and go visit our global partners. Isn't that incredible? Not only that, there are an innumerable amount of people that served locally that were repeating the sounding joy here in Franklin and Nashville and in Brentwood. It's this repeating the sounding joy. And today, I want to introduce us to three people that were on trips this year, and they're going to share just a little bit of testimony about that. So if you all could come on up. We are so happy to have Jody Sweet, that is our country champion for Southeast Asia. And they came back in September. That's, I said earlier, like a month ago, but I don't know what time it is.
I know. It goes quick.
Yes. So
Beth, love to start us off. My name is Jody Sweet. I'm the country champion for our South Asia partnership. And I wanted to share a story this morning about a woman named Shabana. She is one of the HIV widows that our partners serve in their Project Life ministry. I had the privilege of meeting her in 2022, and I was drawn by her because she walked in and she was fully covered head to toe. She was wearing a burqa. All you could see was her eyes. That let me know right away that she was Muslim. Most of the women in this ministry are Hindu. But she is a Muslim woman, and when she removed her face covering, I was struck by her beautiful smile. She just seemed to be such a joyful person, and I was drawn to her from that. And despite the fact that she is seen as an outcast in her community, so she had lost her husband to AIDS, so she was a widow. She was a woman, a widow, and she herself is HIV positive, and all of those things combined make her an outcast in her community. I saw her again on our next team, which was in 2024, and we never know from year to year who will be returning. And so when I saw her, of course, I was delighted. I went running up to her. I had remembered her name, and I said, Shabana, and I gave her a big hug. And she was deeply impacted by the fact that I had remembered her name. Most of the names are hard for me to remember, but this one I could remember because at the time I was teaching a refugee here in Nashville whose name was also Shabana. So I had remembered her name, really stuck with me. And so I gave her a big hug and she smiled so big and beautiful. And I found out later that between the first time I had met her and this particular time, that she had gone through a deep season of suffering and grief and loss because she had lost her daughter also to AIDS. And now she and her son are left HIV positive. And so what is true about her circumstance is that if our partners were not in her life as she was going through the passing of her daughter, she would have been overseen and overlooked and not cared for. But because of the work that our partners do, they came alongside her and walked with her through this deep season of grief. They were in the hospital with her for hours and hours and days upon days. They made sure she had the best medical support. They provided groceries for her and her family. They counseled with her through her grief. And it's just a joy to be able to share her story, to see her over and over. And listening to what Jeff was saying, talking about repeating the sound of joy, she has not professed faith in Jesus yet, but she has heard the repeated sound of joy of the gospel in her life over and over through our partners and through our teams. And she is experiencing the love of Jesus all the time. And it's just a joy and a privilege and an honor to be part of this ministry and the work that God's doing in South Asia. So,
all right. Thank you, Jody. And this is my new friend, Emily Fritz, and she just got back from Uganda with Peace International.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name's Emily, and I've been a member of Fellowship for 27 years now. And I've got some notes because I'm known to ramble. I've always had a heart for Africa. I was lucky enough to serve with Heal Ministries in 2018 and 2019. But since then, my life honestly has been so consumed with my career that's just kind of been the focus over the last few years for me. But then last year when Fellowship put out the call and was assembling global teams, I got plugged in with Peace and I met Michelle York, who leads the teams each year. And Peace's kind of mission is to empower South Sudanese refugees, women and children through business programs. They have an amazing primary school. They have almost 900 students. So they're doing really powerful work. And we just began that conversation of what would it look like for me to contribute to this community in some way. And as you can see, I ended up painting a mural on the first primary school building that you see when you walk onto the property. They have this amazing tree that was the first tree on the property. It's very much like a community hub for them. They have a well right under it. And that was the tree that I painted. And I was lucky enough to have classes come out every day and contribute to the mural and kind of speak to students and teachers about art and how, you know, they're all uniquely made and designed. And I just wanted to encourage that creative expression in them and that sense of discovery that currently in this community just isn't a priority because they have so many other priorities, you know, ahead of that. And it was amazing to see their faces light up. They would leave school and come back and bring their parents back from where they live just to see the mural or to paint on it. I had several students tell me that they wanted to grow up and do art and take classes and learn how to do it. It was just an amazing experience. So I just wanted to say, with global missions and even with things on a much smaller scale, like volunteering or simply having a conversation with someone, so often you feel this nudge to do something, and I have felt that nudge many times in my life. And I would just encourage all of you to listen to it because I don't think that's ever a coincidence. It was placed in your heart by God on purpose for you to use your own unique gifts to go out and spread this joy and help other people kind of find that those own God-given gifts within themselves, which I feel like I was able to help do. So it was an awesome experience.
Thank you. And last is my traveling partner, David Vike. He and his wife, Lori, have gone with my wife and I to the country of Georgia 2 times now to visit our Russian partners. But David's been going to Russia for many years.
I've had the great honor to work with our ministry partner in the southern part of Russia in the Caucasus Mountains. His name is Denislam. That's the Muslim area. Denislam was raised Muslim. In fact, his name actually means believe Islam. And he came to know Jesus through a card game. If you want to know how that happened, you got to come afterwards and ask me. But he is a man who has a passion for his people group. He's a gift of evangelism. When something goes wrong, car breaks down, he thinks, okay, somebody here needs to know Jesus. And that's how he thinks. And he's always wanted to repeat the sounding joy. He did it. One way he did it was his wife, after the kids were grown, they adopted 2 sets of siblings, which added 7 kids to their family. They went from 2 kids to 9 kids. Another way he wants to repeat the sounding joy is he's translating the Bible into his native language. Now, work there for him is dangerous, and he has seen the danger over the years. He himself has been questioned several times by the authorities. And when what happens is, usually it starts with like a woman, she might actually come to know Jesus. And if she goes home and her husband later finds out that she's no longer following Islam, but following Jesus, he packs, kicks her out and takes the kids with her. So they're homeless. They have nowhere to go. So what Denislam wants to do now is to build a house of refuge so that these people who become homeless after finding Jesus have a place to go that's safe, that they can try to start anew and then also begin to grow in their faith.
Thank you. You better.
So what we've just heard is precisely what the Apostle Paul would say would happen. I mean, we are reaching the world. This is what Isaac Newton had in mind when he was Isaac Newton. Isaac Watts. I don't know what Isaac Newton was thinking. Oy vey. But this is the heart of Advent, that this joy would be welling up in all of us. And this joy was never meant just to receive. We're carriers of this joy. We're to take this joy across borders. We're not receivers of joy only. We are bearers of joy. So this joy that found us was given to us that it might find others. This is why we do Global Christmas, that we would give one less gift under the tree, that we would have a big impact on the world around us. And we are doing that. As Kevin was sharing, many of our partners are nearly 20 years in the making. And it's been such a joy getting to know them because they are doing an amazing, amazing work. Now, at the very end of Romans 15, verses 8 through 13, Paul gives this benediction. In verse 13, he says this: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." I would like to leave you with this benediction. May this joy not be tightly held tightly, but shared boldly. May the peace of Christ steady you. May the Spirit empower you to carry hope into every place that God sends you, your workplace, your neighborhood, your family, or across the nations. Or just go tell it on the mountain.